Have you ever wondered what it would be like to spend nearly 2 weeks travelling around the UK purely for property? Well, you need wonder no more, because for the next 14 days or so, I'll be releasing a daily pocket-sized podcast in diary format, documenting my first ever self-styled solo UK property tour as I crisscross the country, checking up on our portfolio and staying in our two SA properties. I'll be meeting managing agents, sourcers and other investors as my wife and I look to scale our portfolio ahead of our move back to the UK about 2.5 years from now. So stay right where you are, because I'm sure it'll be helpful one way or another.
You're listening to Expat Property Story, a podcast in which I share my story to smooth the way for you to have your own
Expat Property Story.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 131, which is the first in a special mini-series of Expat Property Story, the podcast for expats in far-flung corners of the world, as well as in the UK too, which I must admit was not something I expected when I started the podcast. So just to add some context, these podcast diaries are not live. I actually arrived in the UK on February the 3rd, 2024, and left 2 weeks later on the 17th. This is actually the first time that I've come to the UK on my own, just for property. It's true that my wife and daughter and I have done some property stuff while in the UK, but this is the first time that I've done a solo trip purely for our property business. If you've been here from the start, you'll know that I started the podcast in February 2022, which for us in Hong Kong was still the middle of COVID. We had a relatively safe COVID compared to many people in the world, but it was not without its own particular inconveniences for me, because my expat job is such that I was unable to leave Hong Kong for about 3 years. This coincided with a time when we were starting to get more serious about building a portfolio. So we had to learn how to buy property without even being able to visit the UK. In fact, the first property we bought back in 2003, which was our original London flat before we moved to Hong Kong in 2006, is the only one that we saw ahead of completing the purchase. Now, while this may sound risky, and it definitely has the potential for riskiness, one advantage of not seeing properties ahead of purchase is that you're not put off by how a property might look, but can instead make your decision based on due diligence and the numbers. And what I mean by this is that on a couple of occasions, I've subsequently seen properties that we'd bought, admittedly pre-refurb, where I've wondered whether we'd have bought them had we seen them in advance. But with the benefit of hindsight, they were definitely good purchases. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that while it's perfectly possible to build a UK property portfolio from abroad without setting foot in the UK, it's definitely better if you can visit and immerse yourself in your chosen investment area. The first time this idea raised its head was all the way back in episode 10, featuring Stephen Pardoe. Stephen had been an expat based in Dubai when he'd started his property business, and although he had a UK-based business partner, neither of them were familiar with the area in which they'd chosen to invest. So, together, they booked into a hotel for the week and doubled down on Dudley in the West Midlands, meeting estate agents and letting agents and narrowing down the potential streets in which to buy property. And now that we've decided to be less scattergun in our approach and niche down on a particular business model, it seems like a good idea to spend a week in our target area and meet as many people as I can, whether that be HMO, management agencies, sourcers, estate agents, or other investors. I'll also be staying in our two SA properties, one in Nottingham and one in Leyland near Preston, where I'll be the very first guest. And I'll be taking in a couple of networking events. So, with such a busy agenda, I don't think I'll be bored. Now, if you haven't already done so, why not subscribe to the show to make sure you don't miss any of the diary entries for my self-styled UK property tour. Day 1. Friday. Or should it be Saturday? Due to the 8-hour time difference between the Far East and the UK, I'm not really sure where day 1 ends and day 2 begins. So on today's show, we're going to squeeze days 1 and 2 into one diary entry. After a full day at the expat office, I take a late night flight at about 11 p.m. on Friday. The war in Ukraine means that we can't travel over Russia, so it now takes 14 hours to get to London, and I arrive at Heathrow at around 5:30 Saturday morning UK time. I've been super efficient and pre-booked a train online from Euston up to Derby via Tamworth using a company called Rome to Rio and got a good price by booking a couple of weeks in advance. I have a couple of hours to spare before the train is due to depart, so I make my annual pilgrimage to the 24-hour bagel shop in Brick Lane, where I get a salt beef bagel and then get to Euston with an hour to spare. But for 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, it's eerily quiet as I approach three guys wearing high-vis jackets and ask them which is the platform for the train to Tamworth. They tell me there's a train strike. It seems like every time I've come to the UK in recent years, there's always been a strike, whether it's Border Control, London Underground, or one of the rail networks. I asked one of them when the train strike was called, and they say weeks ago. So how come I was allowed to buy a ticket? Apparently, it's because I booked it online. You couldn't make it up. So I have to get to Victoria Coach Station as quick as I can and try to get a bus instead. Luckily, there's one leaving to Leicester within the hour, and it isn't full, so I get on that, and from there, I get one to Derby, where I check into a serviced accommodation room I've booked into via booking.com. By this time, it's evening. I'm exhausted, so I go to bed. Join me tomorrow for the next instalment of the Derby Diary, as I not only resist the urge to fall for shiny penny syndrome, but also meet the host of the Airbnb where I'm staying, who confirms, as I suggested in episode 123, that Rent to Rent is dead. Please do me one small favour to help us grow our community, and that's to tell one person you know about this show and encourage them to give it a go. Share the show to spread the word. You've been listening to
Expat Property Story.